being that I am, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I have gotten to know my dear friend, Ms. Barbara Moore, and she is a history government teacher. She had been a teacher at Northside Methodist, and I've known her for years and just have fallen in love with what she's sharing with our children. We're just really about, you know, honoring God, honoring country, and honoring your parents and grandparents. But anyway, we're very concerned because we're seeing what's going on with the federal government. And, you know, the truth is ugly. And I know my pocketbook, sometimes when I look at my pocketbook, I wish I had more. And I'll shuffle things. But, you know, it makes it harder for the breadwinner, my husband. And so I think we've come to the point that even in our state of Alabama, we have to call it what it is. And things are not as pretty as they're laying it out. So I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Barbara Moore, and hopefully she'll shed some light for you.
Thank you. It is such a pleasure to be here with you. I appreciate all that you do, helping multitudes of people with eyeglasses, and it's just a really, really admirable work that you do, and I want to thank you for it. I had the privilege of speaking to the Lions Club in Dothan several years ago about the Constitution, and so it's so good to be here with you. Yes, Diana and I and many others are very concerned about this proposed constitutional amendment that we'll be voting on September 18th. We believe that the ramifications will hit our children and our grandchildren for years to come, and we are opposing that amendment for many reasons. One, the Alabama legislature is required by law, by the Constitution, to balance the budget every year. They did not do so. They didn't balance it. Now, they made some good cuts. They did some good things, but they stopped short and did not balance the budget. And they're just hoping that Alabama citizens will pass this amendment to take $145 million out of the Alabama Trust Fund every year for 3 years. And in this amendment, there is nothing that requires them to pay it back. So it is not a loan. It is not a loan. With a loan, there's a promissory note, and there is nothing of the kind with this amendment. They say, well, we're going to pay it back. We're going to pay it back. But you know what? 3 years down the road, the people who say that will not necessarily be in office and be reelected. Now, one of the things they're doing with this proposed amendment, they're using a lot of scare tactics, even in the wording of the amendment. I've never seen such propaganda within a proposed amendment. But they say that they're going to turn the prisoners out loose on the streets, that they're going to kick the elderly out of the nursing homes, that they're going to withhold health benefits for mothers and little children. Now, if they do that, do you think that they're going to be reelected? I don't think that they really mean this, because they have to be reelected, and if they do all those things, we're not going to reelect them. I think it's an empty threat, and they shouldn't be making it at all. In fact, I think it's very insulting to Alabama citizens that they would use this kind of wording and these kind of scare tactics with us. So, but they're supposed to do a balanced budget amendment. They did not. That's illegal. What they're doing is illegal. We talked about that doesn't have to be paid back. One of the things I want to mention is that the Alabama Trust Fund is supposed to be a stable source of income for Alabama citizens to fund the agencies, the state agencies. It's supposed to be stable. They're proposing withdrawing 20% of the principal, not the interest, not the dividends, the principal, withdrawing 20% of the principal. And it's that principal that is supposed to grow and provide that stable source of income to us with the interest and dividends. And that's going to be seriously reduced. And, you know, again, we're looking at years to come. They may, for the next 3 years, if they get their hands on this money, they may, for the next 3 years, balance the budget and fund the agencies that we need them to fund. What about after 3 years? The money's gone. The principal is reduced. We're not going to have the money to fund the agencies. That is to be the stable source of income for us. So very, very important that we know that. I think it's wrong on many levels, but particularly what it's going to do to our children and our grandchildren. And that Alabama Trust Fund was intended to benefit us in perpetuity, you know, and it's being, well, we call it, those of us that oppose it, call it raiding the trust fund, because it's not borrowing at all. Now, in the budget this year, this was the year that the funds that had been actually borrowed through a constitutional amendment had to be repaid. $600 million had to be put back. And so they're saying, the legislature is saying, well, they're putting that back. Why? Because by law, they have to. Do we really think they would be putting it back if they weren't required by law to do that? I don't think so. And I don't think that it will be paid back if it's not required by law. And isn't it interesting that they did not put the provision for paying it back in the constitutional amendment they were proposing? It's not there. The time where the money was taken out before and borrowed, that was in the constitutional amendment they proposed. But this is not. So we have no guarantee that it would ever be paid back. And if we look at human nature, you know, it's you know, we pretty much do what we're required to do, and sometimes not more. So there are other solutions. I asked one of our legislators, if we vote this amendment down on September 18th, what would likely be happening immediately thereafter? He said we'd be called into session the next day, and we'd have to make cuts. And keep in mind, he's one of those supporting this, okay? But he said they would be called right back to Montgomery, and they would cut now and find solutions. Are there other solutions? Yes, there are. Alabama is one of the few states that does not allow Medicaid funding for assisted living facilities. Most all of the other states do. This would be a proposed savings of anywhere from $48 million to $68 million per year. And we know that Medicaid is the fastest growing funds. You know, the costs are the fastest growing. Right now, Medicaid funds can only be used in nursing home facilities, not assisted living facilities. And if you can keep someone out of a nursing home, it's much less expensive. So it just makes sense. And we are one of the few states that does not have that. That's something they could look at that would be a substantial saving. So we're the budget is $145 million short this year. We're looking at a savings in that area between $48 million and $68 million, something like that. So that's a possible solution. Yes, ma'am.
So you're saying that if they say now that Medicaid funds can be used for assisted living, you're looking at more people going to assisted living than to the nursing home?
It would be a possibility. And people who really need, they don't need a nursing home, but they need help. And so this would allow, if the legislature and the governor approve it, like the other states have done, this would allow Medicaid funding to go to assisted living facilities and keep people out of the nursing homes.
Would that have to be an amendment also?
No,
no.
I think that's just a could be a law. And I hope that we will really persuade our legislators and our governor to do that. Because I think that's a win-win situation. Our nursing homes are full as they are, and we have people every day that are going to need help in that area, and assisted living facilities seems like that would be a really good way to go. That would help our budget and help our people as well. So those are a few of the things that I wanted to bring up to you. I strongly oppose this, and there are other reasons. Diana, why don't you stand up and talk to us about when they proposed this solution.
It's a shock, y'all. We have a copy of it. First read on the 7th of February. Their solution to raise the Alabama Trust Fund. What you hear is the end-all solution, you know, after they studied everything and, you know, had this difficulty, gut-wrenching decision to raise our children's future. It was done all the way in February 7th.
So at the start of the legislative session.
And I'll tell you
in February.
That right there, I think, should send us, you know, warning bell here. They had this plan in the beginning, which meant they really didn't go to work very hard, did they? As a matter of fact, they made it so easy for them, they even want to save themselves the trouble for the next 2 more years. They're raiding it for 2 more years instead of going to work. What a shame. What a shame.
You have a list of the representatives that
sponsored? Well, not all of them for it. You know, we did hear from Ms. Alola Zena that there's people calling her. They're saying, we don't want it. So I think there's a voice rising. We want to go back to work. We want to clean things up. Because, you know, I think they were presented a lot of things at the end, and they must have overlooked it, is all I can say. But I'll pass this around and let y'all look at it. It's horrible.
Now, Aloha Zena, she is the president of the Alabama Federation of Republican Women, and she is opposing this with all her strength and might. And although she was actually for it at the beginning, she assumed that this was a good thing, and then she began looking into it further and found all this information. So.
Well, another thing, too, I'll pass this around. This is from the Alabama Forestry Association. They're saying here a short-term loan could have been really borrowed, you know, just what was needed for this year. But they didn't choose to go that route. Instead, they choose to go and get 3 years' worth of money. So right there ought to, you know, really scare us what they're doing. But, and that's from the Health and Forestry Commission, so they don't just put that out to be putting it out there. That's a fact.
So, you have a copy for everyone?
I do. I have
Good.
A copy for everyone.
Okay. You want to make any other points?
Well, I think, as Ms. Barber was saying, you know, and I've worked in DHR. I worked for DHR for 27 years, so I know about how hard it is for our elderly. I love being able to talk to my clients. That was the best part of my job. But a lot of them end up having to sell their homes. And for Alabama to be just one of, I think, 2 states that still has not caught on with the assisted living idea of funding that, you know, that's another shameful thing, that we need to shame them into going to work and changing that, because that is almost half of the, a third of the money that they're going to need is in just one area. So I think for the sake of our children, you know, they need to do what they need to do, which is really go to work.
There are solutions. You know, as Diana was speaking, I was thinking we're one of the few states that still has 2 budgets, an education budget and a general fund budget. And unfortunately, the education budget is the one that has all the growth attached to it, and the general fund is static. This this Alabama Trust Fund providing a stable source of income for our general fund, but it doesn't have the growth potential. So if they could be combined, and this is something that our legislature can look at when they reconvene September 19th.
No,
it
does not
break
education.
No,
it doesn't. No. It doesn't
do.
It doesn't
break. Combine with these like they already did.
Well, let's get. I understand. One of the things that the legislature did that has been so great for the education budget has been the rollover, so that it is growing and it is increasing in funds dramatically, and there are billions in there now. But you are right.
Yeah.
You are right to be suspicious of that. It would have to, if it were done, it would have to be guaranteeing education funding. Yes.
So if the legislature decided to just change it and say we're going to take it out of the loan like they did before, guaranteed by law to pay it back, then you'd have no problem.
Right, a short-term loan. Short-term loan in writing.
How short was the last one? You said they just paid back $600 million, did you say?
That was after the 2003 proposal of a tax increase. Do you remember that, Governor Riley?
I wasn't here.
Okay. Governor Riley proposed a $1.2 billion tax increase, which we defeated. And the loan was after 2003.
But, I mean, how... When you say short term, does that mean 6 months, 2 years, 3 years?
Now, I don't know that. I'm sorry.
How short?
Yeah, well, I don't know how short.
That $600 million loan is not really being paid back. You know, they're using this as part of their money to. Yeah, we had one, I think, Paul Lee, that was telling us how they're moving the money.
Yeah, they're moving the money.
They're moving the money.
They're putting the $600 million that they borrowed, they're putting that back in the front door, okay? Clear, required by law, but then they're taking money out. I think of it as the side door or the back door. You know, they're removing money out. So,
I you can't really say that. You know, even though there's stipulations, the fact speaks for itself. Even with that $600 million supposed to be paid back, they're busy trying to find ways not to really pay it back. So. I think this one has not got it in it, and they're talking about, yeah, we're going to put that in first thing in the next legislative session. But it's not guaranteed.
Any rationale as to why they want to do it this way?
They weren't going to do it in the first place, but they've heard people complaining.
Are they giving any rationale as to why they're wanting to do it this way? Yeah.
Yes.
What kind of rationale are they giving?
That they need the money.
Well, I know.
That's it. They were not able to balance the budget. They're short. They need the money to fund these agencies, and that's the only rationale they're giving.
Even with our governor not checking the paycheck.
Yeah, that was a good question you asked.
I need your money, too.
That was a good question you asked about the short-term loan, how long it will be, and there's something on this sheet that Diana's going to be passing out. It says the Alabama Trust Fund Board of Trustees has the latitude to offer the state a short-term loan that would be paid back with interest and would have no net long-term effect on the principal. So,
what did you put that in by? In the amendment?
So,
no, they didn't. No, they didn't. No. No, this is short-term. The other is.
Is it too late for them to amend that amendment?
Oh, yeah, they're not
going to
do it on the
18th.
Yeah.
So on the trust fund, I've heard things. I've heard education trust fund. I've heard trust fund from gas
and oil. That's what we're talking about, the gas and oil.
They never come out. So the money to this fund is not an education trust fund that they're raising.
No. No, it's not.
Amendment is combining the general fund and the education.
No. All this amendment
Well, now there are several things, actually. We're just hitting on the part about taking the money out.
Right.
They also redefined income.
Out of what trust fund?
The oil and gas.
Okay, because you said yes. Trust fund.
The Alabama Trust Fund is that oil and gas.
That's where it comes from.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. And they're wanting to remove 20% of the principal.
Well, let me say this,
too, Alno.
Somebody said it's all coming out of the taxpayers.
Right.
Bottom line, whether it's general fund or education budget, you know, general budget, it's all coming out of our pockets. And one of the things I would like to point out, this is hurtful to me as a taxpaying citizen, that there's no debate on a lot of these things. And one of them is $100 million to go, $100 million bond issue, putting us in debt, $100 million, for iPads for ninth graders through 12th graders. Plus, there's a contingency to ask us for more money because, of course, that costs internet, you know, AT&T, Verizon. There's a lot more. So that's $100 million in the blink of an eye. Did y'all hear about that? No.
The legislature passed it with little or no debate.
So there is a lot of problem in that we're not hearing a lot of these things. They're not even getting debated.
That
has been,
yes, ma'am.
And then we have to replace them.
They're really going
whatever.
To take good care of them.
Well, they ain't battling that one.
Well, Silicon Valley, which is the smartest probably people in America as far as technology, guess where they send their kids? To a school without computers. So, you know, we need to be asking questions before we dish out the money. So I think this legislature needs to go back to work.
I think so. Let's say no and send them back to work.
And
back to the drawing board.
But we thank you for this time. And it's going to take a lot of prayer. And like me, myself, I have to tighten up my belt. I don't like to do it. But I know that somebody's working for that money. And, you know, we're seeing the federal government making us work harder for the money.
Yeah.
If that trust fund is gone, that means that's almost $1 million a year. I think they got $87 million in the past session out of that trust fund to help lower, you know, our part. If that's taken away.
Now, that was out of interest.
Yeah, out of interest. So can you imagine when that's gone, they're going to hit us with more tax.
They are. And we're hardworking people. We don't want to pay anymore.
If y'all want more information, I would suggest you can go to a website. It's called cityonahill.tv, CityonaHill.tv. And there's blogs in there. There's links like with this. And you can pass it, make copies, and pass it on.
One of those podcasts is former State Senator John Rice. Speaking about this, and he's opposing it also.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I hope everybody maybe got some insight on what I didn't know what the amendment. I heard so many things about the amendment and Diane's.
I'm just going to pass around the date so y'all can know for yourself that people start
first.
I've heard.
And there's so many people that don't know what's, you know, where's what's fun. I know one guy was talking to me about whether it's going to raise the education trust fund. But it's really coming from the oil and the gas taxes. And
what was their next step, though?
For an education trust
fund.
And I agree with what you're put them back to work and let's balance it.
Yeah, let's do it. Make those hard decisions.
You know,
we have to.
Whether we do this, whether this passes or not, because I know, like Gail, you know, you were saying, you know, you're going to lose people out of your office if the money doesn't come from somewhere, you know, and there's going to put people out of jobs. So it's really, it's tough to see, like, you know, as to know what is right and what's wrong.
Is this the name of it?
Yes, sir. It's SB 147 is what it was. It's kicking the can down the road is what we're choosing, really, on September 18th.
So what's SB 147?
That is that bill.
Constitutional amendment bill.
They presented it February 7th.
Yeah, at the beginning of the session, before they ever
Got a lot.